Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can listen live online anytime at kpcg.fm, and you can also access any of the show archives right there at kpcg.fm. And the way of peace have they not known. This is part of the Apostle Paul's condemning description of mankind. Earlier here in Romans chapter 3, he also says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And so one of many symptoms of this spiritually sick world is that they do not know the way of peace. Romans 3, verse 17. Now, what does that mean for us? How is that so important to your life specifically? Well, of course, if the world is not experiencing much peace, that really does put a whole lot of us in danger, you would think. The late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong wrote in his booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, about human governments. When we think about world peace, we normally think that, well, the only chance human beings have for world peace is if all the governments of the world somehow come together and learn to get along. Or maybe they will even form one gigantic world-ruling government. But here in this Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet, Mr. Armstrong condemns human government, just like the Apostle Paul condemned mankind in general for not knowing the way of peace. Mr. Armstrong said, referring to human governments, national governments, too often what we find is selfish, greedy men of excessive vanity, ambitious in their lust for rule, scheming to get their hands on the throttle of power for personal aggrandizement and monetary gain. We find secret deals, graft, immorality, deception, dishonesty, running rampant in high places. Governments promise peace, but bring wars. They promise benefits for the people, and then extract from the people the cost of the benefits plus excessive costs of government. Government promises are empty. The people are the pawns who fork over the money in order to get a part of it back. We fail to find in human government any knowledge of life's purpose or dissemination of the true values. The last couple weeks we've been talking on this show about Mr. Armstrong's astounding track record of accurate Bible forecasts. And like I've said, all the credit for that does go to God for opening up Mr. Armstrong's mind to all of this. What do you think Mr. Armstrong said? If that's what he said about national governments, what do you think he would have said about man's attempts at international government? In the He Was Right booklet, which is just like the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet, available to you for free at thetrumpet.com, there is a section about Mr. Armstrong's forecast of the United Nations. This is titled Peacekeeping Undone, and the N there is capitalized, so it's like UN done, undone. This is pages 50 through 53 of the He Was Right booklet, and I would really encourage you to get your free copy of this. It's much better than just reading it online because there are so many pictures and maps and graphics, it really does make the material come alive. But Mr. Armstrong actually did attend the very first meeting of the United Nations. And it's pretty incredible what he had to say about that. Way back in April 1945 in San Francisco, the very evening after the first United Nations meeting, Mr. Armstrong said, "Already I see the clouds of World War III gathering at this conference. I do not see peace being germinated here, but the seeds of the next war. The United Nations conference was producing nothing but strife and bickering and was destined from its inception to end in total failure. Yet world leaders were pronouncing it the world's last hope, with the only alternative, annihilation of humanity." So, of course, if Mr. Armstrong could recognize that national governments can't even get along, that national governments are rife with discord and disagreement, the prime example of that today being the United States, well, of course, a 193-nation body that's all trying to come together and get along is also going to fail. Mr. Armstrong was able to look at Romans 3, verse 17, and understand that no matter what human beings tried to do, they couldn't bring peace on their own. It simply was not possible. And, of course, looking at the United Nations today, it's pretty obvious to us that that organization is a farce. It's a sham. It's a complete and total travesty and failure. But imagine guaranteeing that would be the case back in 1945, the very evening after the first United Nations meeting. Would you really have had the boldness to foretell that the United Nations would fail 75 years ago? Right when it was getting started? Because Mr. Armstrong did. He didn't have any qualifiers or caveats to that statement. He just said that the clouds of World War III were gathering in the United Nations. That's quite the spectacular, staggering forecast. And it all was rooted in the Bible. Romans 3, verse 17. Human beings just do not know the way to peace. It does help to know the big picture when we're examining world events. And that is a really important part of the big picture, knowing that human beings are incapable of bringing peace or any of the blessings that they seek for themselves. Human beings today aren't very happy. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. They're not fulfilled. Now, there might be some individual exceptions to that. It is possible to obey the laws of success and obtain peace in your life to a certain extent, even if you're not necessarily trying to obey God. But the vast majority of people today are not experiencing peace at all. This section here, Peacekeeping Undone, in the He Was Right booklet, again, available for free at thetrumpet.com. And again, you definitely should request your free physical copy of this one. But it does just absolutely dismantle the United Nations. It does provide the mountain of evidence that shows that the United Nations has failed. Mr. Armstrong said this would happen back in 1945. The He Was Right booklet says, Mr. Armstrong knew that the United Nations would not, could not, bring peace to this world. How did he know? by deeply studying God's holy Bible, which reveals the nature of man. So not only do human beings possess absolutely no awareness of the way to peace, but human beings are stricken with human nature, which is really Satan's nature. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The human heart is desperately wicked. A wicked heart will not produce peace. That should be pretty obvious. So Mr. Armstrong could look at verses like this and know that the United Nations would fail. And it's to the point today where not just people who are looking into the Bible, but every observer can easily point out that the United Nations has failed. One ambassador, British ambassador in the 70s and 80s, called the United Nations a disastrous failure. And he said it was nothing more than a place for the nations to let off rhetorical steam. Just a place where sworn enemies can go and rant at each other. That's never going to be especially productive, but it is human beings' best hope at producing peace on their own. The UN has sent out around 70 or more peacekeeping missions since 1945. They've sent out troops to keep the peace dozens and dozens of times. And yet, since 1945, there's been over 300 wars and 3,000 other military conflicts. It doesn't seem like those peacekeeping forces are getting much done in the way of peace. And in fact, the United Nations has basically become ludicrous beyond parody with its appointments of nations to positions of leadership that really should not have those positions of leadership. Iran being appointed to the Women's Rights Council. Just think about that for a second. The death penalty is imposed upon women who are raped in Iran, as if it's their fault, as if they are the ones who committed that heinous crime. And that is sickening. They're going to tell the rest of the world how to treat women? Unbelievable. And it's almost like they're trying to appoint nations like that who literally have no competence whatsoever in that area of expertise. Like I said, plenty of secular sources, plenty of people who have really no interest in the Bible probably could also tell you how shambolic the United Nations really is. Like I said, the He Was Right booklet does go through a plethora of examples of how upside down the UN is and how they have thoroughly failed to obtain peace in any way. But here's an article about just one specific area that the United Nations has failed. This is from Fox News back on December 13th, 2018, titled, "The United Nations' Anti-Israel Bias is Undeniable. Let's Stop Pretending Otherwise." And here in this article, Sean Derns shows all the different ways that the United Nations has discriminated against the nation known as Israel. And just notice this statistic. This just about knocked me over when I read it. In 2018, the United Nations censured or passed resolutions against Israel 21 times. And here's why that's so shocking. The amount of resolutions they passed against all other nations in the world combined, just 6. 21 against Israel alone, 6 for everybody else. And that 6 includes just 3 against North Korea, which sends its own people into concentration camps. All the relatives of people who supposedly think poorly of the North Korean regime, all the innocent relatives are sent into those forced labor camps too, where they're tortured and they starve. But no, the United Nations has its focus squarely on Israel. Again, just unbelievable. They refused to pass a resolution condemning Hamas on December 6, 2018. The Hamas charter approvingly cites Adolf Hitler and calls for Israel's destruction and the genocide of Jews. Yet, the United Nations didn't find it worthwhile to pass this proposed resolution against Hamas. And really just the list of atrocities against Israel, verbal atrocities in the UN, goes on and on. In 1975, this is also pointed out in the He Was Right booklet, in 1975, the UN General Assembly passed a resolution which equated Zionism with racism. Zionism is simply the belief in Jewish self-determination, the belief that a Jewish state should exist. Think about the nation you're from. Do you think your nation should exist? Would you be surprised if someone called you a racist for believing that? That's really only the case against the Jews. Those who think their own nation should simply be allowed to exist. The UN has a serious problem, though, with Israel, with the Jews in Israel believing they have a right to a state. Everyone else, there's 193 nations in the United Nations, but only one of them is illegitimized in this way. There are two different agencies in the UN for dealing with refugees. One of them is exclusively for the Palestinians. And the other one, which deals with six times as many refugees as the number of Palestinian refugees, has only a quarter of the staff members. So they're dealing with six times as many refugees as the Palestinians and have only a quarter of the staff to take care of all those people. All those millions of displaced people around the world. And yet the UN cares more about the relatively small number of Palestinian refugees. Again, just another way to shame Israel and make it seem like they are the only ones with a problem like this. Now, you'd have to totally disregard the fact that Israel is by far the most free nation in the entire Middle East region of the world. You'd have to disregard that Israel does actually treat its minority population far better than any of the other nations next door. What do you think happens to Jewish minorities in those Muslim countries nearby? Do you think they have the same freedom, the same right to exist as Palestinians in Israel? Now, even if you personally might have some sort of animus against Israel, maybe if you personally don't agree with settlements or whatever else Israel has done as a nation, do you think what they have done is really worse than the entire rest of the world combined? Do you think Israel's breach, so-called, of human rights is worse than the entire rest of the world? Because that's what the United Nations thinks. just absolutely incredible how extreme the United Nations is. And we're just talking about one area of this, just the way that they are anti-Israel. The United Nations has even turned a blind eye to Hezbollah digging attack tunnels into Israel. They have actually helped Hezbollah. I believe it was them. They actually helped Hezbollah kidnap three Israeli soldiers, I believe it was. In 1967, Egypt requested that the United Nations remove their peacekeeping force from the Israel-Egypt armistice line. This was an obvious precursor to Egypt attacking Israel. And so, of course, the UN complied with that. They removed their peacekeeping forces and basically gave Egypt permission to attack. So this article really does expose how slanted against Israel the United Nations is. Again, that's from Fox News back in 2018. But that's just one area. There's so many more. There's the subsection here in the He Was Right booklet: Failures, Prejudice, and Scandals. Did you know that the United Nations perpetrated perhaps the biggest scam in human history? There was a corruption scandal here, an oil for food program, where billions of dollars were siphoned off, including by the Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. He stole between $10 and $40 billion from this program. He didn't care about feeding his people, and the United Nations did nothing to stop him from stealing all that money. Perhaps the biggest scam job ever. The He Was Right booklet draws attention to a Congo sex scandal where United Nations officials, their own peacekeepers in the Congo, were raping children. And there were 150 accusations of rape, child abuse, solicitation, and other sexual crimes. 70 in one town alone. Are they bringing peace or are they bringing carnage with them on these peacekeeping missions? They have allowed Germany and Japan to subtly rearm, to send out troops around the world under the guise of peacekeeping missions. And of course, the reason why that's important is that Germany and Japan were a huge problem in World War II. They basically caused all of that. 60 million dead in World War II, largely thanks to Germany and Japan. And the United Nations acted as their shield so that they could send peacekeeping troops around the world. And now, because that became normalized, Germany and Japan send regular troops around the world. And no one even blinks at it anymore. No one even thinks about history and how that could potentially be a massive threat. So again, we have to look back at Romans 3, verse 17. Mankind does not know the way to peace. And Mr. Armstrong knew that. Even as he was at the United Nations' first meeting back in 1945, he guaranteed that it would fail to bring peace. He understood his Bible. He let the Bible speak, and he just listened and repeated that to anyone who would listen. And now the good news of all this, the good news behind the UN's dreadful failure to bring peace, the ultimate reason why Mr. Armstrong knew they would fail. It's over in Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is about to return. And his government and peace will increase forever, because the world and the universe have no peace. They desperately need Christ's return. That's the only way they will finally experience true peace. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.